1420 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. According to a family statement obtained by the BBC, singer Sinead O'Connor has died at 56. Nothing
compares. Sinead O'Connor was equally known for her music, her shaved head, and her controversial behavior. In 1990, the Irish singer was on top of the international charts with her version of Prince's Nothing Compares to You. But 2 years later, she was heavily reviled when she tore up a photo of Pope John Paul II while on Saturday Night Live.
Fight the real enemy.
In recent years, O'Connor's social media postings detailed her mental and physical illnesses, as well as family problems. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
The Federal Reserve is back to tackling inflation today and raised the interest rate by another quarter percentage point. Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
My colleagues and I remain squarely focused on our dual mandate to promote maximum employment and stable prices for the American people. We understand the hardship that high inflation is causing, and we remain strongly committed to bringing inflation back down to our 2% goal.
Hunter Biden has pleaded not guilty to two tax crimes after a judge rejected his plea deal with prosecutors. CBS's Catherine Herridge has more on where this case goes from here.
She's given the parties 14 days to come back with filings to help clarify her questions, and she could reach a decision in about 30 days whether she will accept or reject this plea agreement.
She's concerned over a gun charge. Kevin Spacey's been acquitted in London.
I am humbled by the outcome today.
Here's CBS's Haley Ott.
Kevin Spacey was facing 9 charges relating to different types of sexual offenses. 7 of those were for sexual assault. He's been found not guilty on all charges.
A former Air Force intelligence officer has testified before Congress. The U.S. has been hiding UFOs for years. Retired Major David Grush.
The objects that we were seeing, they were spherical, and they were observed up to Mach 2, which is a very non-aerodynamic shape.
The Pentagon has rejected his claims. Scary morning in New York City, where a massive crane crashed, dropping 16 tons of cement onto the street below. At least 6 people were hurt, including 2 firefighters, but their injuries are said to be minor. And baseball's commissioner will stick around a little while longer. Major League owners just agreed to terms to extend Rob Manfred's contract for a third term to 2029. He's made some major changes this year, including limits on defense shifts and a pitch clock. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
If you're hiring, it can feel like you're trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. In fact, ZipRecruiter has helped a lot of business owners find their needle in a haystack. Like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers. Because Telly Tires has grown a lot in the last few years, Marco needed to hire everyone from a receptionist to a store manager to a head mechanic.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill. ZipRecruiter helps me keep my business running.
Take it from Marco and millions of other businesses who've used ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter can help you find the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, July 27th. The Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission meeting will begin at 7:30 a.m. at City Hall. The Wood County Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. The North Central ITBEC Board and Tourism and Economic Development Advisory Committee will meet at 10 a.m. The South Central Library System Board of Trustees will meet at 12:15 in Madison. The Edgewater Haven Donation Ad Hoc Committee will meet at 4 p.m. at the Wood County Annex in Marshfield. Following that, the Health and Human Services Committee will meet at 5. The Wood County Library Board will meet at 6 at the Mead Wildlife Refuge. The Wisconsin Rapids Legislative Committee meeting will be held at 4 p.m. at City Hall, followed by the Historic Preservation Commission meeting at 6 p.m. In Adams County, the City of Adams Board of Review meeting will begin at 1. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows of a low of around 64. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 95. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, lows of a low of around 66. Mainly cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this July 26th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to talk with Ann from the ODC. Looking forward to hanging out with her. Right now, our friend Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman, joins us. Good morning, Lance, or good afternoon.
Good morning, James. Great to be here.
Yeah, good to have you here. Thanks for being here, Lance. And, of course, a big shout-out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate the gang over there. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to their page and keep up on all the great things that they are doing over there. Lance, how you been?
I've been good. Summer's been great. You know, maybe not so much if some of the parts of the state if you're farming. But if you enjoy dry, warm weather, it's been a great summer here in Wisconsin.
Definitely been very happy to get this rain that we have gotten today. And getting it now and not last weekend when, of course, we had the water ski show tournament and everything. I want to start right there. Lance, did you get to take in any of it? Did you? What kind of things that were you hearing from the community over the week?
Well, I got to take in a little of it because I actually had to fly to Austin, Texas for a national conference of the Counties Association. However, you know, that water ski tournament is just tremendous economic boost to our area. We've had people who've skied in that tournament who move businesses here. The participation of both community businesses, the other charitable organizations, and just volunteers who pitch in with help to run it. You know, it takes a lot of people to run a tournament of that magnitude. And I'm sure you heard it on some of the broadcasts. If you're watching, it was streamed. It is the largest water ski tournament in the world. And, you know, certainly kudos and a shout goes out to the aqua skiers for running this tournament, you know, for over half a century. It's been tremendous. But the part that amazes me the most with this, James, is the family participation and the generational family participation.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
There's people in that tournament where, you know, I watch them and then their kids, and now their kids' kids are skiing in that tournament. And then when you watch, whether it be, you know, restaurants, hotels, the campgrounds, our Wood County Parks Department does a fantastic job with setting that, you know, helping set that site up, having that campground ready. But there's so many moving parts, and yet year in, year out, they pull it off. In the midst, typically, of a storm, and Saturday afternoon, we did have a little bit of a storm, not of the magnitude in the past where trees blew down and trailers tipped over.
Yeah.
But again, an outstanding job and a great face for Wood County and the Wisconsin Rapids area.
It's because so many of us, not just transports like me that have been here 20 some years and have never known what it's like not to have that water ski show tournament. There's a lot of locals, a lot of kids that have grown up in this area that they've always known that it's always been the case. I've talked to some before that, you know, about when it first came here and the sort of thing. One of the first things that comes up from community members all when it comes to that subject is the economic impact. That you could tell the difference that when this water ski show came here and when it didn't. And, you know, we're a little used to it, not in a bad way or anything. We've kind of come to not take advantage of it or take it for granted, but, you know, something akin to that. So I think we don't think about that all the time. But, man, our local businesses, I bet you every business on A Street thinks about it.
Well, you know, they do. And, you know, as I travel around the state, I used to hear people, you know, I tell them from Wisconsin Rapids, they say, oh, the home of Consolidated Papers. And as the paper industry contracted over years, I'd have people tell me, oh, that place with that giant water ski tournament. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's so integral in what we do from a tourism standpoint in our area that the Discover media crews, the same group that does Discover Wisconsin was here filming a show called Uniquely Wisconsin, where Wood County is going to be featured. And we thought this was such a big part of the fabric of our communities, both, you know, countywide, that we needed to have them out there filming. So they were out there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I was out there Thursday all day. I did not put my name on the list of people to be interviewed, although they grabbed me as I was walking between places, not probably dressed extremely appropriately to or prepared to do an interview. But nonetheless, you know, part of that. Now, who knows what they use and what they don't use. But,
oh, yeah.
Again, just a tremendous event.
Do you know much? Mayor Blazer brought this up, too, about them being here. And we're big fans of the Discover Wisconsin people. We work with them here at WFHR before. Great people over there. Did you hear about how this came to be, how this came about?
You're in respect to them filming here. Well, Mark Rose and family, who owns Discover Media Works, is an acquaintance. Hmm. Works with the county's association on a lot of projects, especially the Discover Wisconsin piece, as well as Uniquely Wisconsin, which is generally features businesses in the community and a reason to relocate your business here is become part of the fabric of our communities. So there was a first round. They were doing six counties a year is all they would schedule, and I was a little hesitant in the first to get involved with the first six to see how this went.
Sure.
Actually, because it's a fairly large investment, and I watched the benefits of the first six counties who did this. Back when they started this show, they were expecting, a fair amount of hits on the website and, mm-hmm. and views of the program. And I think it was about in the first 4 or 5 months, they had over 4 million mm-hmm. views of this. So it extremely beneficial when we talked to those representatives from Washington County who'd done it, Sauk County, and some of the others. And then, like I said, I have a little bit of a relationship with Mark Rose, who owns Discover Media
yeah,
Works.
Yeah.
And, we were one of the six counties that got to be in the second group.
We're going to watch the episode, so we don't want any spoilers too much or anything like that. But as far as plate locations that they set up, that they filmed, kind of the hot spots around here, places you'd expect?
Typically, they look at business, oftentimes family businesses, mm-hmm. and how that wraps into the whole community. So the water ski tournament, although you could call it a tourism event, involves so many local businesses mm-hmm. that participate. That was important. I don't know that they've decided specifically yet, but one of those episodes will be filmed in Marshfield. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of proposals on the table. And then it's kind of hard to ignore the cranberry culture of our county and try to roll that in, because Monroe County did a whole episode, or they filmed something in regard to the cranberry industry. So we're trying to look at a spin on that. Some people that have done things other than just the growing and harvesting of cranberries.
Yeah.
So we're working on that. And at the end of the day, the hope is to spur more business. And I'm laughing. I'll segue this for you. So we're before this started, James and I were talking just briefly and said, there's not a lot of pressing stuff going on, but as we talk about bringing business in town, we have a critical housing shortage in our area. I mean, we're not talking a little bit of a shortage. We're talking critical. And as we strive to bring new businesses in the community, we have to house those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, we have to take a look at different models. Because first of all, there's not enough developers, not enough build. We can't build our way out of this with traditional subdivisions that have been done in the past. So coming back from the national conference and sitting in a number of seminars where some of the housing projects have been successful, I'm going to try to set up a task force in the next month or so that's going to start meeting with developers, builders, government leaders. So, at least from our end, we can cut the red tape. We might have to look at some different models so we can bring more units on, development. And then the key always, they say affordable. Well, explain affordable to me. We were talking to some counties in California. They said, well, that means anything under $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that probably didn't put you into anything here.
Right.
But that's not affordable based on the wages in our area. So, kind of looking at workforce housing and mm-hmm. how do we handle that? So that's going to be extremely important as we move forward and try to develop businesses in our area.
How far along are you with this task force? You mentioned the types of people. Do you have any specific people?
If the scale was 1 to 10 and, one being we haven't started and 10 being, we're fairly far along, we're at 0.
Okay.
We identified this when we were looking at ARPA funds. We identified this as probably the second most critical need within the county.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on our radar, and we have some dollars to work with there. But actually putting together, other than a government workforce, actually working with the people who would have to provide it, we have not started that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to have to start, because by the end of, we actually have a full another year to ascertain, determine where those dollars are going to be spent.
Yeah.
And we have till 2026 to actually spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't been in a hurry, but child care, housing, right at the top of the list.
Yeah, and those got to be one, too. You know, I know that we are always looking for more businesses and more jobs in town and such, but if you take care of those two things, some of that will come into this.
Yeah, and you have to take care of the people that are here first. Right. You know, I always say, you know, the easiest customer or resident to have or garner is the one you already have.
Yep.
They're here. So how do we make, you know, the community more favorable to that?
Well, I, if you want to look at a real difference of cities and states that aren't losing people as much as others, because every state in the union is losing people, some more than others. Everybody's migrating, and some of those people are going to one state, and it's helping that one another, vice versa. But you want to see a common theme there. You see communities in places that are taking care of the people that already live there. The idea that you are going to tempt people to move to your state by doing this, this, and this, that doesn't, we don't see that as much. We see people that are in state wanting to stay in that state, whether we're talking about Wisconsin, Maine, California, whatever, taking care of those people.
Yeah, you know, there's a number of factors that come in. You know, climate's one, and it's kind of funny. At first, you know, there was an out-migration out of some of the upper Midwest, you know, what was referred to previously, or the Rust Belt,
yeah,
you know, down south. And as they've moved to some of these areas and they found out that water needs are critical,
right,
and they don't have that. You also see some of the temperatures. I, like I said, I was in Austin last week. It was, pick your number, 105 to 107 degrees every day.
Yeah.
On the pavement, you know, if you're downtown, you're probably 120. And I heard somebody tell me somewhere they were hitting temperatures like 140.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's also people looking to go a different direction. And then they typically look at states as they that they're migrating to, the in-migration, that have less government regulation. So when I say assist, sometimes it's how can we assist by getting out of the way, you know, and allowing those people in the private sector to do things well to do them without taking 4 years to get a permit to get it done. You know, if it's an allowable use, and there might be a few qualifications within that, but, you know, get out of the way and let them get started. And, you know, we're seeing smaller developments. And I'm not talking, you know, the old necessarily, well, in our community, actually. But, you know, we're not talking 20-story apartment buildings,
mm-hmm,
little apartments. But, you know, you might be talking about more kind of planned unit developments where you have townhouse-type setups, where you have less land use and a little bit higher population densities within that area. But those areas have to be planned,
right,
taking into account, you know, healthcare, transportation, all of those other needs. You know, some of the problem we've created ourselves, James, you know, the intended consequence was great, you know, keeping people as they age in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep somebody in their home as they age and they live 20 miles out of town and now they have transportation needs and then they expect government to provide that, that becomes a strain on our budgets. But if there's nowhere to come closer to town, you know, that's decent residential properties, they're probably not going to come this way.
Right.
And then that exacerbates the problem is in the past when those homes sometimes were sold,
mm-hmm,
when those residents moved and that inventory became available, that doesn't happen. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that feed into this, and we need to address them all.
There's a myth, too, that it used to be, like, for my the generation before mine, if you will, that once I got to a certain age, my parents were going to either give me a house, help me buy a house, or something like that, similar to a vehicle. That kind of faded, if it was ever actually a thing. I don't know if that was actually even a thing or just something we heard about. Like, back in my day, this and this, and I don't know if that was actually the case because I've never seen some actual stats on that one of people just giving houses and stuff. But be that as it may, we are in a different era now. We're in a different time, and we see people living at home longer as well and unable to get out of the home faster. So certainly pay is an issue with this as well. The housing market, you're right, Lance, there's no magic bullet for this. There's no one-trick solution. Whether it is using all the funds that we have there, the smartest we can use them, that still ain't going to solve this.
No, you know, and I see it firsthand. You know, I have a son. And by the way, I've seen some statistics recently that have been verified where it says, you know, the average age now of males, you know, moving out of a family home is in their early 30s.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
And part of that is just plain affordability.
Mm-hmm.
You also see the age of marriage increasing greatly as people try to become more, you know, financially stable maybe, mm-hmm, before they enter into that. And generationally, you did see back, you know, a generation or two ago where parents often did help, you know, at least help,
yes,
in the purchase,
yes,
of that initial home.
Mm-hmm.
As financial, you know, strains have occurred, and that has certainly changed that a little bit.
Yeah.
And then just not availability. So my son is getting married this year.
Mazel tov.
And they're looking at, you know, looking at purchasing a home or even renting an apartment. And I can tell you there's virtually nothing available. And, you know, we do some other real estate shows on this, you know, on this station. And, you know, in a market where you typically had 300 to 400 homes available at any time in a balanced market, we've had 20, you know, over the last couple of years. And again, that pushes prices maybe beyond what they normally might be. And then people are worried about that cliff. Interest rates are 7%, which has changed the dynamic a little bit. So a lot of parts come into this. So we're looking from a county standpoint. You know, if we can help with the infrastructure and eliminate some of that cost and get those builders to a point where they can start to put up units, we're not going to build our way out of it very rapidly, but we can certainly start.
Yeah, it's a slow burn. That's what this. There's very few things out there that are going to change overnight. It's going to take some time with something like this, and take multiple angles and multiple viewpoints in that. Going, and that leads me right back to you. You were talking about putting this group together and everything. If people want to be a part of that, if people think that they have ideas or something, reach out to you about this stuff.
Yeah, that would be great to reach out to me, because you know, as we've seen successes in other parts of the country, we've looked at ones where, you know, the government representatives on a group like that are fewer than the number of people in private industry that actually, you know, build, plan, you know, whether it be architects, involve all of those people in the community. And there's a lot of expertise out there in the community. You've heard me say it over and over and over. You know, there's 19 members of the Wood County Board, and 19 of them have some pretty good ideas from time to time. Yeah. But there's 75,000 plus people out there who, if even a fraction of those have a really good idea and give us a call, we have a lot more good ideas than we do within our small group. So feel free, you know, to give us a call, to give us your thoughts, to talk about how we might start to, you know, solve this problem.
We're speaking of the Wood County Board Chairman, Lance Plimmel. And Lance, I wanted to get into the big closure going on right now on County Highway W. Maybe even warn some people about that that may have not been out that way yet or something. It's just east of Wisconsin Rapids. The construction of a roundabout going on over there. So this is it, just construction in general. This has been going pretty well, construction this season, from what we've been seeing.
We've had zero weather delays. Same thing with the jail. We're a little bit ahead of schedule because we had no weather related delays. That roundabout at 48th Street in County W, which is on the corner, you know, where the Grand Rapids Town Hall is and what was Children's Choice School, for those who go back a while. That roundabout's going to be under construction for quite some time. And the detours are fairly well marked. But the hard part is I live that direction. Mm-hmm. And habitually, you start driving that way. And then I get out there and I go, oh, yeah, if I would have thought about this ahead of time, going a different direction, I'd have saved myself a whole bunch of time. So be aware of that. And that's going to be closed for several months. So you can get to the new Dollar General out there. You cannot get through that intersection. The detours are marked. You know, and that's always a fluid situation, too. I mean, we assume we have the best routes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we monitor that, you know, in traffic counts and others. But, you know, if we see that traffic is moving a different direction and there's better ways to do things to accommodate the people in the area, we'll certainly do that. But it's a big project. It's a $1 million project, you know, to increase some of the safety at that intersection, and probably won't be done. I probably should have talked to the Highway Commission before I got here, but, you know, we're looking at September.
Yeah, that's what I saw, too, September. And other construction, and you mentioned the jail, all of this, not only on time, but a little bit ahead of schedule with some of these things, as Mayor Blazer was telling us last week.
Yeah, we've been pretty lucky. Like I said, unless you're, you know, need the moisture because you're, you know, growing crops, which is pretty important in our area, too. Although we have a lot of irrigated land here. However, yes, you know, when you don't have those big storms, those rain delays where everything's a mess the following day, and I shouldn't even say it because, you know, it's like we don't have any wood to knock. You know, as soon as I say it, you know, we're going to have a big storm. But we've been pretty lucky to this point.
Lance, one of the other things that I wanted to get into with you was being a board member. And the importance of this. It seems like every other show you and I touch on this, and just encouraging people to look at, you know, whether it is the Wood County Board or, you know, a business that you work at, a nonprofit that you care about, encouraging people to be board members, and especially young people. It really, really could use more 20, 30 somethings on these boards.
Absolutely. There are elected officials, and then there's a lot of boards where an elected official like myself has the ability to appoint from within the community. I heard a speaker the other day. We had some great speakers at this national conference. You know, some of them you've heard of. Some of them are politicians, you know, U.S. senators and stuff. But then you had, like, Dr. Drew, you know, Drew Pinsky from TV. Joan London spoke one day. But, you know, and I don't remember exactly which person made the point. But it was said, if you're not willing to participate, then don't complain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be my point, is participate. You know, there's opportunities, you know, to be on planning and zoning, you know, commissions, to sit on different parks boards and commissions, the libraries. I mean, and then within the community itself, you know, if it's not even government, affiliate, Crime Stoppers Board of Directors. You know, yeah. I can think of some of the ones that I've been involved with.
Yeah.
Aging Disability Resource Center Boards mm-hmm. of Directors. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of opportunity. So, you know, I guess I would encourage everybody to ask, you know, to maybe, in this case, I'll put it on Trent, our county clerk, who, by the way, was just elected president of the Wisconsin County yeah. Clerks Association.
Congrats
and,
to him.
And I'm going
to
give another plug there, too. And Tiffany Ringer, our Register of Deeds, has also been elected president of her respective association.
Congrats to her.
So what's amazing about that is, you know, Wood County looks pretty good in the eyes of the state. Many of our department heads, our elected officials, have become the president of their respective associations. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the work we do here and the way that we tend to work together.
Yeah.
But so I digressed for a second there. So call Trent Minor, the county clerk. You know, maybe if you want to, you know, if you're interested in something, you'd like to get your name on a list, you can call him. You can call me. My number's on the website.
Mm-hmm.
But we certainly take that into consideration. And I have people call every now and then saying, I'm kind of interested in when something opens up on the State Wildlife Advisory, you know, committee or board or out at Sand Hill or something. Would you consider me?
Yeah.
The answer is absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Lance, I wanted to wrap up with the conference you just mentioned. How did that go? What was it about?
Well, it was a great conference. Annual National Association of Counties conference. Mm. Over 3,000 registered county officials from around the country.
Mm.
You know, meeting with, you know, federal leaders, state leaders, tremendous breakout sessions. Really started about 7 in the morning and goes till pretty much 6 every night. Mm. Fairly intense, you know, within the sessions, but a good chance to network outside of that as well. There's some counties that send numerous representatives because there's no way you can cover all of those breakout sessions.
Yeah.
But great conference, great opportunity. Again, to take advantage of room rates, they're always like Austin, Texas in the summer.
Yeah.
Last year we were outside of Denver. It was 102 degrees every day. Mm. And next year I just heard we're in Tampa in July. So, you know, fun and games. But again, you know, they're trying to leverage those room rates and those
times. One of the things that we appreciate about our city officials, our board members, different jobs, we hear this all the time of doing these conferences, of looking for information, looking for outside resources or outside opinions, outside thoughts. We can never have enough of that. It shows good leadership to me when you see people that realize I don't have all the answers. I'm open enough I'm comfortable enough with my intelligence to be able to say that I don't know everything. I admire that. I think it's some of the greatest leadership. It goes back to Lincoln and him appointing people in his first cabinet that were running against him and him getting, hey, I don't know everything. I'm going to hire the guy that just ran against me and tried to beat me. I think that's smart politics.
But it's just finding opportunities. I mean, nobody can be aware of every funding opportunity out there. But somebody from some county somewhere says, hey, do you realize there's credits for solar or broadband or, you know, subdivision infrastructure.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear this all over, and there is, that's the sad part. Instead of being one place where you go for this funding, there's a bushel basket of these things out there, and half the time you're not aware of them. You know, not looking to add people ever, but there are some counties that actually have people who do nothing but, you know,
you look
research grants
and
solicit, and some of those opportunities are extremely beneficial to communities.
But you don't think that's something we would need here?
Going down a road we may get there. You know, we've contracted with people for some of these opportunities. Mm-hmm. My concern always is the opportunities have been vast over the last couple of years because of the amount of money the government has printed that they don't really have. That's going to come to an end at some point. And then you have somebody with those limited opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, opportunities are almost unlimited.
Lance, always a good time talking with you. If people have follow-up questions and want to know more, maybe even talk with you about that board that you were talking about, how can people get in touch with you?
Pretty easy. My number, my email address, you can text me. It's all at the Wood County website. That's the easiest way, so you don't have to remember numbers or addresses. I always laugh when somebody gives you their email address. It's, you know, ABC123. It's on the website.
You can find that website, woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov.
Or just Google Wood County, Wisconsin.
Can do that too. As well, we want to encourage you to check out the YouTube page of Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Like their page, subscribe to it, keep up with all the great work that they're doing over there. Appreciate you guys very much. Keep it up. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here for you on WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM locally grown radio.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. This week's flavor forecast is brought to you by Swiftwater Ice Cream, 300 Market Street in Nakusa. This week's flavor of the week is banana. Find Swiftwater Ice Cream on Facebook.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. Don't speed, especially today. Around 100 law enforcement agencies in 11 Midwest states are participating in Speed Enforcement Day today. This 24-hour high-visibility enforcement effort is cracking down on drivers who are endangering safety on the roads. Officers want to educate people on the dangers of reckless driving to help reduce the risk of severe injuries and help save lives. In 2022, 162 people were killed and more than 6,500 were injured in speed-related crashes. If you like Taco Bell, you might not be able to get sour cream on your favorite menu items for a while. There's a possible shortage coming to the fast food chain. Employees at New Dairy Select Milk are currently on strike. The DePeer facility produces sour cream to every Taco Bell location east of the Rocky Mountains. Employees are striking for a better health insurance plan. They are represented by Teamsters Local 662. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows of aloft around 64. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 95. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, lows of aloft around 66. Mainly cloudy skies expected.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this July 26th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff here. Thanks so much for joining us. In studio, we have our good friend, Anne Lepek from the ODC. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
Good afternoon, I should
say. Or good afternoon.
You're not, I know. It doesn't matter. Good to have you with us, Anne. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks. It's always great to be here.
It's been a while. How have you been?
Doing well.
Good.
Very busy.
Can only imagine. I'm sure that you've been in, hopefully been able to enjoy some of your summer. And we always love our talk with our friends at the ODC. I want to start off, if you don't mind, talking about the Run, Walk, Roll, one of your bigger events at the ODC.
Yeah. So great. So yes, our fourth annual Run, Walk, and Roll event is coming up. It is scheduled from August 13th through the 19th. We do have in-person events in five different locations, communities, actually on Thursday, August 17th at 6 p.m. And so we'd love to have as many people join us as possible here in Wisconsin Rapids. We will be, it will be starting out at ODC on Huntington Avenue. So, and if anybody's interested in, we're currently looking for sponsorships, also participants. So if you have any interest or looking for more information, you can check us out at inksplash.shop. And there's actually information and forms on there to provide sponsorship or participation or form a team. We'd love to have everybody join us that, to help us support Run, Walk, and Roll for ODC.
This has been going on since 2020.
Correct.
And it feels like, okay, yeah, it's been a while it's been going on. And at the same time, it feels like it's been around like 20 years.
Yeah.
Like it's an interesting event that way. And that's fun. It's also so fun for an event where we can say, everybody come on down.
Right.
Everybody can take part of this one.
Right.
We know we got a handful of people out there that I know at least that like to do marathons and like to time themselves in these things. And you're welcome and certainly able to have fun. But you're going to be starting in the same place as, you know, moms with their strollers or people walking with maybe, you know, some of our senior population that want to walk this. There's all kinds of people at this event.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So it really is meant to be fun and flexible, so people can do it anytime throughout the week in whichever form they choose to do so. Of course, you know, working with some of our, you know, the older population or folks with disabilities may have some mobility challenges. And so really it is meant to be a community-wide, all-inclusive event. So it's run, walk, or roll. We have three different routes. So there's a short route, a medium route, and a longer route. And so it's just, again, really great opportunity to get together and get out and just celebrate, you know, supporting ODC. So. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned in our communities, you mentioned, you say communities. I want to make sure that people understand, certainly here in Wisconsin Rapids, but this is also taking place in Stevens Point, Marshfield, Wausau, Merrill. It's a state event, really.
Yep, it really is. It's, you know, we're really trying to connect with all of the communities that we're involved in. We are in 13 different counties. And so those five locations are really where we have some larger presence, and so really want to share information about who ODC is and, again, connect with the community.
You mentioned this a little bit already, but I do want to come back to it because it's so important. This event is so awesome, and it's great, but you can't do it alone. It takes many hands to make something like this happen, so we want to know how we can help. Certainly, you mentioned being a sponsor. We've got some wonderful local businesses out there that could tag along on this, and we know there's so many great people out there that put their name on local things all the time. We see their name all the time on stuff. So looking forward to seeing some of those familiar names as sponsors for this event, well, along with some new ones out there, or new businesses out there.
Correct.
I will say this, working in a bit of this medium, in radio, and knowing advertising a bit, one of the best forms of advertisement is working with a nonprofit. It just is. It's certainly doing it for the right, you know, quote unquote, right reasons, the good reasons. You have a good human soul. You want to help out a nonprofit. I think that's where 90% of us come from on this. But I want to reach out to the people that may be on the fence or maybe they're in that 10% and looking at the numbers and that. Well, just statistically, even you look at anybody, if you're Nike or if you're a mom and pop business, it is much more beneficial for you working with a nonprofit than almost anything else. And being attached to these events are part of how you get your name out there, part of how you show where you stand in the community.
Right, exactly. So, and I will say that, you know, this event, again, is really meant for any business, any person that wants to participate. It's affordable. We have sponsorships that are as little as $250, and then we have sponsorships that go up to $5,000. So it really is, you can really choose, you know, what meets your needs. And we do our very best to make sure that we give all of the kudos to the sponsors that support us, mm-hmm. either through our Facebook page. We have all our sponsors currently listed on our webpage as well. And so we really couldn't do this without the sponsors. And right now we have over 25 sponsors for this event. Yeah.
Nice.
So we're super excited about that and sure appreciate all of that support, but always looking for more sponsors. Or if a business wants to form a team, you know, you can form a team. And if you have a team of five or more, the cost is $25 per person to register.
Yeah.
So, again, very affordable. And we also have very easy posters that if businesses want to post, it has a QR code that takes you right to the website. So, you know, there's a way that everybody can get involved, even if it's just helping us promote the event by hanging up a poster in their business.
You mentioned forming a team. So you mean to tell me I could grab Seth and Melissa and Pam and I could make them do this with me? I'm just kidding.
You absolutely could.
But I could do that. Yeah. It doesn't. That's how simple it is to put a team together.
Correct.
And I almost guarantee if you don't know your your fellow employees or your employees, talk to them, find out if they. I almost guarantee that they know the ODC, that they care about the ODC, mm-hmm. and would love to be a part of something that involves the ODC and promoting it. So do those things. You mentioned a great one too about celebrating the event. Where you know on your social media, be sure to like share these things, put it out there. You just never know who could see something that might not otherwise. And as great as social media advertising is, advertising in radio or TV and all these other things, I think even in 2023, we all understand that word of mouth is the greatest advertiser there is. So spread the word about this to your, you know, at your local pub or anything like that, or when you're talking and hanging out with your friends and stuff, and mention, hey, do you know that this is coming up? That this is a great event. Let's get as many people in the community to be a part of this as we can. In part because the ODC doesn't have that many opportunities to do things like this. You are a nonprofit, and any opportunity to help to bring attention to this subject matter or to bring funds to it, vitally needed at the ODC.
Yep, exactly, exactly. And it's really about raising awareness. It's, some events are fundraising events. This one is fundraising, but it's also awareness raising. Mm-hmm. We want as many people to know about ODC and all of the things that we do, and so that we can really become immersed in our communities and provide the support that's needed.
And we're speaking with Ann Lepak from the ODC right now. And Ann, as you mentioned that, I wanted to segue right into mental health services and clinics up and get an update on that from you, because the ODC has helped their clients for a very long time. They have expanded things in recent years to not just those clients, but to really any community members in need.
Correct, correct. So really our newest expansion has been our mental health services. And recently, it's been just a year ago that we opened our outpatient mental health clinic here in Wisconsin Rapids. I know, it's amazing. It's been a year.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so we are just super excited to have that up and running. I'm happy to share really that we've supported over 100 people in our clinic so far in that short year. Really want people to know that it is open to the public. I know a lot of people feel like it's, you know, for the people we're currently supporting, but mm-hmm. it's not. It's for everybody, anybody and everybody who needs any sort of mental health services. We are also in process of obtaining our certification to provide some AODA, alcohol and drug abuse counseling as well. Mm-hmm. And so just super excited about kind of where that's all going. And we did actually just open our satellite outpatient mental health clinic in Stevens Point. Actually, our ribbon cutting was just last week, mm-hmm. Friday. So doing some really great things in mental health and just supporting the community in those ways.
My question about this, Ann, why? You guys have so much on your plate already. Why are you trying to take on more? You guys are already doing enough over at the ODC, in all seriousness. The reason why is kind of self-explanatory, I would think. Mm-hmm. You don't open this if you don't see a need for it.
Correct, correct. So very much a need, very much a passion of some of our key staff that really felt very passionate about it. And so it was a combination of the need and passion of some key staff members that really wanted to take this on and make it what it is today. So we are just so grateful to all of the support that we've also gotten from local businesses, mm-hmm. and foundations. Again, we couldn't have done this without the great support of our communities that helped us to build and put these clinics together. And it is just such a huge need, you know, and, you know, really social isolation was really difficult for a lot of people in 2020. And it's just kind of grown from there. And we're seeing ourselves not as competitors to the other mental health service providers, mm-hmm. but we're collaborators. And so there are people that, you know, there's waiting lists out there. And so when we opened our clinic, we didn't have a waiting list. And so people could get served. And we are getting referrals from some of those other clinics to help, you know, the greater good of, you know, providing what really is needed for people. So Yeah.
I think just like the topic of mental health itself, just us talking about it is a great step and is a big integral part of these steps, this process and everything, especially because I think there's a lot of people out there that don't know that those services are offered at the ODC. Mm-hmm. And you add on top of that, there's a lot of people out there that may not even realize they are struggling with a mental health issue.
Right. Right.
And when it comes to that, that can be a lot of different things. I don't like the idea of scaring people or making them, you know, start overthinking or anything like that. It isn't one of those things like, are you sad? You have mental health issues. Like, that's not the case. It's deeper than that. But it is almost as simple as, well, I've been sad for a while, or I've been struggling with anxiety for a while or something. And you get... We do this all the time where my ankle hurts, but I'm just going to walk it off. I'm just going to walk it off. And especially here in the Midwest, where we do this with our mental health all the time. Having a bad day, I just got to push through. Just got to push through and all that. And you do that day after day after day, and you start burying that stuff, and you're not taking care of the root problem. You're not helping yourself any, and you're going to be dealing with stuff that happened years ago, but you haven't processed, so you're still struggling with it. This is very similar to cleaning the oil in your car or a lot of other things that maintain a routine care that you take on inanimate objects, but you won't do for yourself.
Right.
You know, so it just bring awareness and talking about this stuff, I think, is important, even generally, let alone having the services that we do here in town.
Right, right. And, you know, and I talk about, you know, in general, people with disabilities, you know, they need some support. But what I always say is we all need support, right? Mm-hmm. So we all have our strengths. We all have our limitations. You know, we do what we're good at, and we shy away from what we're not good at. One of the things we talk about in the office a lot is that we all need a therapist at times, mm-hmm. right? I mean, life just throws things at you that you don't, you know, some of it's long term and some of it is situational. And so, again, we want to just make sure that the community knows that we're there and available, you know, to provide any type of support, if it's, you know, longer term kind of chronic things or if it's short term situational things. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that really sets us apart is that we're really working on getting insurance coverage in place so that people can use their insurance for the services. We are also able to accept Medicare and Medicaid, which not a lot of clinics do.
Yeah.
And then we are also offering a sliding fee scale. So if people are uninsured, and I want to just give a shout out to United Way of Southwood County, they're actually providing some support in 2024 to help offset some of the costs for having the sliding fee scale. And so we really try and make it affordable and accessible to everybody, regardless of people's ability to pay. We really are... helping people first and then figuring out, is there a way that we can, you know, is there a reimbursement rate way to get reimbursed for the services? But we first and foremost deal with the issue at hand and then figure that out later.
It's one of my favorite things to hear. And I'm very spoiled in this chair. I get to hear this all the time, whether it's from the Southwood County YMCA or the Boys and Girls Club or other organizations saying, look, we do have to keep the lights on, but we don't want that to be a detriment of you not seeking help, of you not reaching out to us. Don't let that hold you back. I admire that so much. And I think it's one of the most beautiful things that we have in this community is there. We hear this from time to time. It never gets old. It is always wonderful to hear, but it really stands out. And it also is something that we kind of used to. That's very cool. And I appreciate you mentioning that, Anne. One of the other things that I want to mention with this is the expansion. You touched on this a little bit about the expansion in the Wetoma building.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk a little bit more about that? Is that up and running? How's that going?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, we're expanding. We're in 13 counties. We have since moved into the Wetoma area, and we're going to start out by providing some day services. There were some programs there that have since closed, and we were asked if we would be interested in you know, providing some services in that area. So we are going to start providing some day services in that area. Coming up here at the end of the month, we'll be having an open house probably this fall and really just trying to see, you know, where that goes. I know that there's, again, a lot of need in that area as well. I know they've already been asking for employment services, mental health services, and, you know, have some transportation needs because they are pretty rural. So really just a lot always a lot happening and being asked to go in lots of different directions. So
once again, speaks to the need for this. When a nonprofit does something like this, it really stands out to me because it's not about expansion for the sake of, you know, growing your business or something like that. It's, oh, this community needs this. We're going to provide this. So it really stands out that, okay, it's about this. Well, it seems like mental health is a concern and it's an issue. I hope that that brings some, certainly some empathy out of people, but hopefully also some comfort mm-hmm. in a weird way
yeah.
that you're not the only person struggling with stuff.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that there's many people out there right now that aren't struggling with something, with at least some kind of thing, whether it's anxiety or, anything under the rainbow of mental health issues and stuff. There's always something out there. So it, again, speaks to that, but also I think shows that, hey, I'm not the only one. We get in our own heads with these things mm-hmm. and we tend to think that I'm the only person struggling and dealing with this. And it is such a breath of fresh air to know you're not alone with this.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's really what it's about. And I think, our partnerships with just the local communities and what we've done in our existing communities has really been why we've been successful with expansion because we've been seen as a business that can do that. We're thoughtful about how that expansion looks. Again, we're not doing it because we feel like we need to expand. We're yeah. doing it because there's a need and because that community is supportive of what, a business or a nonprofit like ODC can bring to their community. And so we're really very fortunate in that, again, we're thoughtful in how we do it, but we also have the support of those communities. Mm-hmm. And we go into it collaborating with people, not as a competitor or not to push out the next guy, right. We are very proud of mm-hmm. how we approach those things and get it done.
I say it all the time. Support, encouragement, cost nothing, can mean everything. And that support, it means so much to the ODC, to our community, and vice versa. The support that ODC shows to our communities, it means so much. And it's part of the reason why you have this great mutual relationship of we want to help you and you want to help us and then et cetera, all that. But as smart and as well-run things are over at the ODC, and they really are, more than I think most people even realize, because you guys are so good at what you do over there, that it moves without a hitch sometimes and such. I don't expect that you were in every single meeting, planning meeting when it comes to this, Anne, but it doesn't seem like this was necessarily the plan to expand to other communities and everything, but you saw the need and you make it happen.
Yep, that's exactly right. And so we see the need. I think the other thing that happens is the people that we partner with. Mm. So the agencies like INCLUSA, the managed care organizations, Lakeland Care, the State Division of Oak Rehab, when things change or when things happen in communities and they see a need, they reach out to ODC and say, is this something you can help us with? And so that's really how we expanded into the Merrill area. There were some changes there. We have been up in Wausau on a small scale. And when a need came in Merrill, they said, it's only a little further north and we have this need. Could you help us? And so really, again, it's about us having, a good reputation, providing great services, and then other people also seeing a need. And then again, we collaborate and work together. And, is this a good fit for our agency? And can we support it? And can we do a good job and still provide good quality services? We don't want to expand, again, just for the sake of expansion if it's not going to be, the great services that we provide. So, right. Again, very thoughtful around all of that.
I wanted to wrap up going back to the Run, Walk, and Roll and promoting that a little bit more and talking about it. It's a great event. And what are the dates, what are the times for this event, and when is it coming up?
Sure. So our Run, Walk, and Roll is August 13th through the 19th. So again, the week, it's flexible. So you can do it with your friends, your family, on your own, anytime throughout that week. But on Thursday, August 17th at 6 p.m., we will be having an in-person event. If you are interested in participating in the Wisconsin Rapids area, you can join us at ODC on Huntington Avenue and just join us for some fun and Have a great time.
And we know that not everybody will be able to participate in this, but everybody can promote this event. So as we were talking about before, whether it's resharing something on your social media pages or you're out and about talking with friends, you happen to know people that, oh, man, and Joe's a runner. He loves this. He would love this event. People from out of town or maybe just a town or two over that might not have heard about mm-hmm. this event or something. Spread the mm-hmm. word. We all know runners. We all know walkers, right? People like that that are going to really enjoy this event. Let them know.
Right. Well, and the beauty of it is you can be anywhere in the country because mm-hmm. it's you know, on it can be on your own time. You don't have to come to the in-person event. We have people throughout the entire week that are getting their families and friends together and doing a walk, run, or roll in honor of ODC. They take pictures. They send them to us. We put them on our Facebook page. So it doesn't have to be local either.
I know some people also do this to honor somebody.
Yeah.
And they like to walk for or run for those reasons and everything. So there's plenty of going to be plenty of people out there with plenty of good reasons to do this.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't forget to post photos and videos on social media using the hashtag #ODCRunWalkRoll and feel connected by seeing everyone else participating as well in something like this. It's a fun event. You can find out more by going to odcinc.com. That's also where you can go to find out more about our great friends at Ink Splash and Milkweed Market and all the great services and products and things they have over there. My mother has a birthday coming up, so I will be over at Milkweed Market very soon.
Awesome.
Yes, she won't take items from anywhere else. I have to buy them there, otherwise she doesn't want it. That's where we've gotten in our relationship. So again, odcinc.com. And if people have follow-up questions, want to know more from some of the things we've talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so you can give us a call at our main office at 715-424-2712. Love to hear from you, and we'll help you in any way we can.
Be sure to follow the ODC, not only at their webpage, odcinc.com, but all their social media as well. It's a great follow. Nice to have that popping up in your timeline, the feel-good you get from it, along with also keeping up to date on all the cool things they're doing over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We will be promoting Run, Walk, Roll, talking about it all week and leading up to the event, and thank you so much for the time. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow, where our guests will be from Family Natural Foods in part one, Stephen and Katrina Hittner, and in part two, Extension Wood County's Jackie Carantini, Human Development and Relationships Educator. That's all coming up on Midday Magazine tomorrow, right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Sinead O'Connor's family confirms to the BBC the singer has died at the age of 56. Her cause of death has not been revealed yet, but O'Connor was outspoken for decades about her mental health struggles. Last year, her son committed suicide. Hunter Biden's plea deal fell apart today in court after a federal judge raised concerns about its terms. He's facing charges for failing to pay his taxes, and prosecutors were willing to let him off on probation. Former Justice Department official Tom Dupree.
She obviously had a lot of questions today. She was concerned about the propriety of reaching a plea agreement when there are still outstanding possible pending charges and ongoing investigation against Hunter Biden. And so she kicked the tires on this deal and at the end of the day said, look, I just can't approve this.
Republicans claim the president's son is getting preferential treatment. The Federal Reserve has raised its key interest rate for the 11th time in 17 months to help curb inflation, this time by a quarter percentage point. Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
The full effects of our tightening have yet to be felt. Looking ahead, we will continue to take a data-dependent approach in determining the extent of additional policy firming that may be appropriate.
But Wall Street predicts this could be the last hike of the year. Northwestern's athletic teams will start taking mandatory anti-hazing seminars, beginning with the football team. This follows a slew of lawsuits from athletes who say they were subjected to violent, sexual, and even racist hazing acts incidents. The school's athletic director says he's committed to make sure this never happens again. A health scare for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell today, who froze mid-sentence during a press conference.
Okay, Mitch.
his dad.
Anything else you want to say? I'm sure just go back to you.
He had to be escorted away, but later told reporters he was fine. McConnell suffered a concussion after falling back in March and spent weeks in rehab before getting back to work. A towering construction crane fell apart today, injuring 11 people in New York. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
The sound had New Yorkers running for cover. A construction crane up in flames high above Midtown Manhattan, then partially collapsing onto the street below. Part of it fell 45 stories to the ground. Officials say the crane was lifting 16 tons of concrete when the fire started.
Try that in a small town.
Jason Aldean's controversial music video for Small Town is now 6 seconds shorter. It was edited to remove any images of Black Lives Matter protests after critics claim it was coded with threats against black people. CMT pulled the original video last week. It's since surged to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Every piece of land has a story. Some right there is behind the wheel of a John Deere 1 Series tractor, like the Upshaws.
This is my tractor, Penny. It's all about attention to detail.
But the Nelsons love cruising.